And I'm right there, so I'm preaching to myself. But you know what I believe? I believe when it all boils down, honestly, it's not a matter of courage that they're courageous and I'm not, they're brave and I'm not, they are fearless and I'm not. I think what it boils down to is in the moment, it's believing in and hungering for the cause so much that in that moment we're willing to go for the cause rather than whatever convenience is there. Because, and the reason I say that is because God has in fact used many people who were shy and timid and afraid and frankly felt very humble and insignificant. He used many people exactly like that to do amazing and incredible things. He did it in Scripture. He does it even today. And so I would encourage you, if you feel timid and shy and intimidated, you're in good company. You're in good company. In fact, as we continue our study of the book of Acts, we're going to look at a specific individual in Scripture, an amazing individual who was throughout the New Testament, guy who did great things for God, who was one of the Apostle Paul's most trusted companions. And he was, in fact, the epitome of being shy and timid, and yet he was used mightily by God and instrumental in advancing the kingdom of God and the gospel. Can anybody guess his name? Say it loud. Timothy. Thank you, Captain. Captain. Timothy. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 16, verse 1. We're going to look at Timothy today. Last week we saw Paul and Barnabas have a little disagreement. They went their own separate ways. They were going to go out and see how the churches were doing that they had planted and then go out and advance the gospel into uncharted territories. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him, but Mark had abandoned them the first time they went out, so Paul said, no way, forget about it, ain't happening. So they split up. Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and went on his way. And then they went out and checked on the churches that they had planted and prepared to break some new ground. And that brings us to chapter 16. Verse 1. Then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him, circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And let me just say this real quick. You know, before, I know we talked all about the last couple of weeks, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. Faith in Christ is enough. This wasn't all about salvation. It wasn't going against what Paul had already taught. He knew that whenever Paul went out, he first went into synagogues and preached to the Jews, and then he preached to the Gentiles. And because Timothy was considered Jewish, it would have been scandalous for him to go into a synagogue as a Jew uncircumcised. They probably would have beat him up and killed him. So he wasn't a Gentile. He was Jewish, so he went and circumcised him to get that issue out of the way so he could communicate the gospel to him. It wasn't about whether it was necessary to be saved or anything like that. So just to clear that up, okay, let me find my place. Circumcised him because the Jews in that region, because they knew his dad was Greek. Verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Wasn't that an exciting passage? Aren't you glad you came today to read that? Doesn't that just like fire you up? Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, Lord, you want me to preach that? Paul came to town, he found Timothy, circumcised him, and they went out preaching the gospel. Okay, thanks a lot for coming. We'll go ahead and have some refreshments. But let's find out a little bit about Timothy, because that really doesn't do him justice. I would submit to you today that this shy, timid, fearful, shaking, trembling young man named Timothy was called by God to be a warrior of the first class. Little old shy Timothy. Here's Timothy, In case you didn't know, he was the guy that Paul was writing to when he wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy. Yep, that was the guy. He lived in this place called Lystra. He and his mom Eunice and his grandmom Lois lived there. All three of them got saved the first time Paul came to town. His mom and his grandmom first, and then Timothy did. But he was raised in his godly home. His mom was a godly woman, as was his grandmother. They were waiting for the Messiah. They were well-versed in the Scriptures. They knew their Bible. And so when Paul came to town and brought the gospel, man, they just embraced it. They fell on that thing. They said, great, yeah, we'll take it. And they got saved. But apparently Timothy, as a Jew, even though he was a devout Jew, he never got circumcised because probably his dad was Greek and his dad had a problem with it and said, no, you know, I don't want all this, you know, stuff going on. And so there was probably some kind of controversy and it just never happened. So there he is. But he had a good reputation in all the cities nearby within about 20 miles. They thought he was a great guy. They spoke well of him. And Paul apparently saw a lot of potential in Timothy. Paul's a leader. He's supposed to be able to see people who would make good workers for the gospel. And he looked at Timothy and he saw in this guy a lot of potential. And he wanted to take him along. Now, that's interesting because of Timothy's personality. Wait a minute. All right. Commentators and scholars, when they talk about Timothy and they've researched him to death, I mean, they looked in scripture, they look in historical sources. This is the kind of stuff they say about Timothy. These are the words they use to describe him. Susceptible, soft, soft temperament. Easygoing guy. Diffident. In other words, he lacked confidence. You had to kind of give him a little motivation with your left foot sometimes to get him out there. Soft temperament, lack confidence, lack of boldness, timidity, fearfulness, sensitive to the point of tears. One time Paul had to leave there in some city. Paul had to go on and Timothy became so upset and missed him so bad before he even left, he began breaking out in tears. And Paul had to like calm him down. It's going to be all right. So sensitive kind of guy, you know. Not your typical type A choleric, you know, come in and you know, take charge kind of, you know, Arnold kind of guy. Timothy. Now, Paul saw a lot of potential in him. That's really bizarre. Because just last week we said that Paul wanted nothing to do with Mark because Mark was what? Frayed. He abandoned ship. They got freaked out after he had that power encounter with the sorcerer. And Mark said, okay, man, I think I hear my mom calling and I'm out of here. And Paul was so maddened by that when they suggested they bring Mark along. He was like, no way, man, that guy's a deserter. He, you know, he quakes in his boots. I'm not having nothing to do with it. And here's Timothy. You know what I think? I'm reading between the lines. Don't take this as gospel. You know what I think? I think Paul started second-guessing himself. I think on the way with Silas, he probably thought, man, I was really hard on that guy. I should have brought Mark. He's only human. He messed up. And so he gets to Lystra and they see Timothy. He's a godly man. He loves the Lord and everything. But he's got this fear. He's timid. And he's like, hey, buddy, come on. We're gonna do this thing. Takes him under his wing. That's what I think. I don't know. I could be wrong. But Paul never made it easy for Timothy. He didn't handle him with kid gloves. He didn't treat him like an infant. From the very beginning, he told Timothy that he was being called to be a warrior. He was being called to spiritual warfare. From Jump Street. How do I know that? Well, 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul says this to him. Timothy, verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. And this word charge is an interesting word, just by way of information. It's the Greek word parangelion, however those guys talk, parangelion. What it basically means, it's an order from a commander, a military commander, to his subordinate that is not open for negotiation, is not open for debate. It's an order given by a commander that is to be obeyed without question. He says, I charge you, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And I'll stop there. Paul said there was a time when prophecies had been spoken over Timothy that said, Timothy, God is calling you to be a warrior. God is going to use you. He is going to send you out, and you are going to engage the forces of hell and encounter spiritual warfare and opposition, but you are going to do mighty things for God. And that apparently took place when Paul and the elders gathered around Timothy and sort of commissioned or ordained him. They laid hands on him. They were praying for him. You know, a word of prophecy came out and the people started speaking and said, Timothy, you're going to be involved in spiritual warfare. You are to wage the good fight, wage the good warfare. 1 Timothy 4:14, he refers to it. Paul says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. So the eldership came around, they laid hands on him. Paul imparted some spiritual gift or anointing or power in Timothy so he would be up to the task. And prophecies were spoken about him that Timothy would be confronted by satanic opposition. He was going into warfare against the prince of darkness, and that he would have to stand strong. Now, remember, this is all taking place in the town where Paul had been stoned by the mob, his body dragged out of the city and left for dead. Okay? Satanic opposition, spiritual warfare. So I can see good old shy, timid, fearful Timothy sitting in his chair. The elders are gathered around him, and the guy's prophesying, saying, Timothy, you're in for a treat, man. You are going up against the prince of hell, man. All the forces of darkness are going to be arrayed against you. They're going to come against you, and you're going to do battle against them and wage warfare against them. Stand strong, brother. And I'm sure he just about wet his toga, man. I mean, like, you know. Say what? I'm going to do what to who, and I'm going to do it where? They almost killed this guy, and you want me to do what? Good old Timothy, man. I can imagine him, you know. Amen. Amen. I think at that point he was probably tempted to do what Mark did, just go home, except he was already home. There's nowhere to go. Nevertheless, and I'm saying this to any of you who raised your hand about being shy or intimidated or timid or fearful, he did not back down. He didn't give up. He didn't run away screaming with his hands flailing in the air. He didn't go home to his mom and grandmom and say, they're crazy, man. I ain't going back there. He said, okay. I'm scared as all get out, but okay, yeah, let's do it, let's go. And he simply decided to go, and we can look back now and see that he became one of Paul's most trusted companions. He did amazing exploits for the kingdom of God. Praise God. He was imprisoned, thrown into prison. He had confrontations. He traveled with Paul, and you know, everywhere Paul went, I mean, you know, he was in danger everywhere he went. He was either, you know, exposed or shipwrecked or, you know, arrested or beaten, or, you know, he'd walk into town and a riot would break out and people were trying to drag him into two pieces.